We want to thank God as we continue our theme in our theme, Authentic Christianity, God's Covenant People, Part 2. And the mini-series we are going through is Mutual Submission. That submission that is not hierarchical. Many of you may not be used to this, but if you were not here last week, please listen to the message. I also want to acknowledge God's goodness to us. I can see people that God, leaders and all who traveled, God granted us joining mercies for which we continue to give thanks. Mutual submission. Today we'll be looking at godly parents. I want to say last week we prayed for the fathers, not so? Was thank you, Jemima. We also gave them we gave them a gift, not so? Ferrero Rocher, not so? Did you enjoy it, fathers? Men above 18? Yeah, wave. Thank you very much. We're going to, look at godly parents today. Apostle Paul, writing in the book of his letter to the Ephesians, addressed people. He says, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. But when you say godly parents, you see, Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, verse 1 says, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ. The faithful in Christ. Just that title alone, godly parents. How does it strike you? Supposed to be saints, not so? Yes. And who is a saint? A saint is a person who is recognized as having an exceptional degree of holiness or likeness or closeness to God. Someone who has is recognized as exceptionally great. We have high degree of holiness or closeness to God. So that's why I started by talking about foundation again. Parents, adults, don't feel guilty, just listen and learn. At times I stay here and I say, I want to make heaven. I will make heaven in Jesus' name. I think that's why you are here. You want to make heaven. And we will make heaven in Jesus' name. Godly parents. You see, in the context of we want to look at, first of all, the Bible passage, which is a text. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let me set the context here. Fathers are addressed directly. But worldwide, there's a tendency to think that raising of children is the mother's responsibility. But biblically, that is, in God's way, fathers are responsible and accountable for how their children turn out. You are responsible and you are accountable for how your children turn out. We thank God for mothers who have been gifted as nurturers. They nurture. And also, just recognize them. They are nurturers. But remember that they are suitable helpers. So that you don't accuse them when things go wrong. But when things go right, that's daddy's boy. There was actually a woman that we saw that the child looked so much like her. And we said, wow, your child looks like you. She said, don't say, my husband is coming. He gets angry when people say that. We continue to give thanks to mothers. Mothers are totally capable of taking charge when fathers are not around for whatever reason, and they do it. Their contribution must be appreciated always. But we also thank God for single parents who, you know, many of whom are doing a great job, and they are drawing on the abounding grace of God. With this context in mind, we'll look at the Bible passage again, and we'll see that the verse is a command for both fathers and mothers working together in obedience to God. It's both mothers and fathers working together in obedience to God. What it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. For those of us who are not fathers here, but who are over 18, I say, you are involved. For those of you who are over 18, women who don't have children, you are involved. Jesus Christ is our Father. Not so. Apostle Paul did not marry. Don't worry. The people you minister to, the people you minister to, that is incredible. That's what we're going to talk about here. See, do not exasperate them. What does it mean to exasperate your children? Does it mean to strangle them? No, that's not talking about that. Does it mean to suffocate them? No. It says, don't irritate them or frustrate them intensely or at all. Don't infuriate them, don't incense them, don't anger them or annoy them or enrage them or inflame them or antagonize them or provoke them or vex them. You say, how can I be vexing my child, provoking my child? Well, I don't know what Apostle Paul saw, but I think these things are happening today. In a short while, we'll unpack them and we'll see how we can pray that God will help us. You know the saying that any abused person, if he's not careful, will turn out to be an abuser. That's it. That's what you know. Over the past few days, they're talking about what happened in the household and how a neighbor recorded what happened. Okay? Are you talking of a neighbor outside recording what happened? What of the if there had been a child in that house, children, what would they have been experiencing? If your heroes are teaching you bad things. We're not talking of neighbors now. We're not talking of anybody recording. What of the heart? Church is easy. Everybody is of best behavior. Not only best behavior, they dress very well. They look very well. It's okay. But what of inside? What of at home? We're teaching somewhere else, Pearl and I, and then people that put so much pressure. If things go right, that's fine. If things go wrong, it's pastor. Things get missing, pastor. Anything bad happens, pastor. As a result, the pastor was run ragged. As usual. Tell me about it. Then I challenged them. I said, how many hours do you spend in church? Some people said 2. Some people said 3. Some people said 4. I mean, in a week. Like those that come to help, like the worship team, you know, they have to come and practice. So add 1 hour to their own or 1.5 hours. Like people upstairs, or like people I talk about will be spending close to 5 hours. Come during the week to help. Everything is okay. You know, even now I don't, apart from the meeting and going in my office, apart from what I do on Sunday mornings, my usual routine. You want to know my usual routine on Sunday mornings? Come in, pray. I check all the toilets that they are clean. Okay? I come back and sit down before you come. So, but even then, how many hours do I spend? So I asked them, how many hours in a week? I said, parents, your children are watching you. They are watching you. You are the Jesus that they see. No matter how well behaved you are here, it's what they see you do at home. I once was in a house, and something like GCSEs, the woman of the house was one of those that used to mark GCSEs, and the A-levels. Amanda will know what I'm talking about. And then the coordinator came to the house to take the scripts. It was in Nigeria. And the lady was not ready. She hid and she said, she saw the man coming, told the son, tell him I'm not in. So the man came, knocked on the door. I was behind. The child ran to the man and said, Mommy said I should tell you she's not in. So the man shook his head and started laughing and turned back. And then the woman heard what the man, what the boy said. Why did you say that? But the mother said, tell him I'm not in. Your hero, maybe you are getting too tall. I saw a little child the other day. I was thinking, what does this child think I am? A tree? Because the child was very small. See, the perspective of the child is looking at me like that. But when I teach that child to lie, don't you think I'm spoiling that child forever? We wonder why people don't change. I just highlight these things. I will tell you a little bit about myself. It's the time. Pray that the time will slow down so that we can learn together. We can learn together. Here, you can see that there are twofold commands. A don't and a do. A don't and a do. I want you to think, what sort of things exasperated you when you were growing up? What sort of things? Don't tell me, don't shout it out. What sort of things exasperated you when you were young? Let me give you some examples that you may want to ponder. Not being listened to and treated as if you had no valuable opinion about anything. Especially if you are a last born, a last child, okay? When others have said their own, okay? You don't have enough time to be heard. So, what do you have to say anyway? Treated unfairly, as if others have greater value than you. You stay at home, as if you are in a busy home. You see people coming and going. You see your parents, hello, darling, to the children of the visitors. Hello, darling. You can't remember when your parents ever called you darling. But this child will go, hello, darling. Your father that you always seen standing up, you see him go down to greet the child. And you are there watching. What you're asking for is just the same. As you treat that child, just treat me like that. Okay? But, overlooked? Were you overlooked? You think I'm talking to you? I'm talking to myself. Were you overlooked? Do you know, some of you know me here, I have many degrees, right? Which one do you think I value most? Please, we have a short time, say it quick. God, yeah, thank you very much. God is my father, yeah. I have a BSc, MSc, PhD. Which one? BSc? None of them. You know why? You know why? By the time I got BSc, 7 people had BSc, By the time I got my master, the people ahead of me, I'm the last of a family of 8. By the time I got my PhD, one actually told me, oh, I thought it was going to take longer. Nothing was new. The only thing that I knew how to do that they hadn't done was to run. So when I got my gold medal, they couldn't run. That was it. I saw people come. My son passed, got the first degree. They will rejoice with them. I have a first degree. I have a master's. I have a PhD. You didn't rejoice like that. You know? Do you think children are blind? They watch you. I enjoyed going to win trophies and bringing them home. Mom, see. Dad, see. Are you compared unfavorably with others? Some people are late starters. I saw a young man the other day. I won't call his name. I knew when he was growing up, skinny. His mates were taller than him. He was worried. I saw him, tall. He had guns. I said, wow. I looked at him, my mind went back. Tall, handsome. I said, have you been going to the gym? He said, yes. Wow. Because I knew him when he was young. I think, from primary school. You see him now, he's up there. And you see his bicep. And everything to match. Taller than you, bigger than you. Some people are late starters. Don't look down on anybody. Do not look down on anybody. You know, there was a girl that was younger than me in school. She was very intelligent, the headmaster's child. I said, come, you got that person is even younger than you. You could be the person's father. She's always first. Look at your own position. Then as you went through school, she only stopped at NCE. So first degree, second degree, third degree. But I didn't forget her because they put it in my brain. So I started praying for her that God will help her. And I prayed for myself. Be careful, parents. You're supposed to be godly. Your children, you are bringing them up. Maybe you were never knowing what will bring a scolding. No clear boundaries. And there were inconsistencies that depend on the mood of the parents. You may be scolded for laughing when we are not supposed to laugh. Or for crying without a reason, you'll be scolded. What are the boundaries? For eating too much or not eating enough. You didn't know which one. Or for walking past and looking, focusing too much on the food of the stranger. You know, we did it in raising Christian children. We raised many topics and we loved a lot. But many resonated, we remembered. But I want you to think, you know, there was actually a young man who would come and ask about my children. How are they? Fine, thank you. Just give a testimony. But every time he went home to attack his own children. Don't you see? You are not doing well. Don't you see this person is doing better? Don't you want to be? And this man was an illiterate. Your children are already better than you. You are attacking them because you are the father. Why don't you put them in a situation where they will learn and encourage them? I want you to think, do we unintentionally do the same to our children? Do you, right now, you are the parents. Do you unintentionally do the same? You know, if you do the same, you have to make every effort to repent. I want to teach you how to. Just begin to come to a point how to repent. Ask God to forgive you. They are your children. Your children will forgive you very quickly. Because of how we are brought up, or the circumstances by which we were brought up, or the things around you. I've seen all cultures. All cultures. Don't think I'm talking about one particular culture. All cultures. You can see siblings fighting, and one would think the parents prefer the other one. The parents don't prefer the other one, but the child would just think, yes, each time they discipline me because I'm the older one. So the parents just think they like that one better than me. You know. So, how do you, if you unintentionally do the same to your children, ask God to forgive you. Forgive them. And then apologize. Your children will forgive you. Imagine if you come to your child, say, look, I have a short fuse. I always get angry. I always shout. Please forgive me. I've asked God to forgive me. Help me so that I want to change. After all, the Bible says His mighty power has given us all what we need for life and godliness. So I want to change. Help me. Then they will be able to point to that mom, then you remember and start getting better. Neuroplasticity. You start getting better. We came here, we fasted 21 days, prayed in the morning, 6 to 7 in the morning, 6 to 7 in the evening. After the 21st, my body, I would just wake up earlier as well. My body was already programmed to wake up early. So I would go prayer walking, where I would see only people walking their dogs. Just walking, at times, nobody. Because just 21 days, I was waking up before come here at 6, finish at 7, in the evening as well. So, practice godliness. Practice godliness. Say, Lord, help me. Father, help me. And you will see the transformation. Seek deliverance. We told you here how deliverance. Acknowledge the problem. When you say acknowledge the problem, you have to be humble. You know, our brother, Ahmed, told us here by humility, if you humble yourself, it's better. If you let God humble you, you are in trouble. He's squeezing a square peg in a round hole, and God has the power to squeeze you in there. So humble yourself. In Sierra Leonean language, they say, if you look down, you will see your nose. Not so? Humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, you won't even know, I'm the dad. I'm the mom. Because you were disciplined, they behaved badly to you. They did not know as well. So it's not generational. Not so. It has to continue. You can stop it. You can stop it. Let me tell you one thing about myself. There was a time, one day, you know, I have three children. I won't name which one. Got this on tape. I just sat down and I was doing something. One of them was about 4 feet from me. I just said, go and get that thing upstairs, from upstairs. Went, he got it, and he came down, gave it to me. He said, Dad, why are you upset? I said, I'm not upset. He said, why did you shout at me? I said, I did not shout. He said, but you shouted. Then I calmed down. I said, yes, it's true, I shouted. He said, have I ever said I won't do what you asked me to do? I said, you have always done everything. He said, well, then why did you shout? So I said, I was sorry. I was brought up like that. You didn't need to talk to a child, you shout. Go and do this. No, please. How do you teach your child to say please if you don't say please? You don't say please, you just command. And then you listen one day, you say, look at my first son just shouting at his younger brother. Where did you think your first son learned it from? He has to practice. He's got to practice. He's going to show you. You are going to use all your life clearing up if you don't change first and apologize and repent and seek deliverance. And seek deliverance. My wife helped me a lot about, you know, Tell children, okay, don't watch television until 6 o'clock. Do your homework. Then suddenly you come at 6:15. Go and study. No, you said they should watch. Let them finish the program. And then go and study. And these are children doing better than me. You are commanding. You stay there commanding people who are doing, you instead of you to be thanking God and be saying, well done. Or you are just programmed to see the negative. Like Tayo said the other day, catch your children doing good things. If you don't tell your child or your children that they are the best, is it me that you want to send to tell them that they're the best? Tell them. You see them, they are with you at home. They love you. You are the one, they know you are their father or you are their mother. Encourage them. Encourage them. We adults, we may have been blighted, but there's a way out. There's a way out. That's why the Lord is changing us from glory to glory. What will you say when you stand here, you preach, and your children are kind to you, and they say, they're just lying. That is not. You know, you are just okay. They see this building as the place where everybody's on best behavior. 2 hours, best behavior. There was a deliverance that was being carried out for a woman in Nigeria. And there was a little girl who was terrible. She was a witch. That girl was dealing with that woman. So we gathered to pray. And the little girl told the grandmother. She said, they are here now. When they leave, it will be you and I. And she said it in their native language so that we won't understand. So the old woman used to say, hi, can you hear what she's saying? You know? When we are damaged, let us seek to rectify it. Don't look at yourself as a finished product. I mean, so Lord, we are a work in progress. Not so? I don't forget you. So, you know, you are until you see Jesus. Appraise yourself. When we have time of prayer and fasting, see, when you pray, I don't know, if you pray and you are able to beat your chest, you are in trouble. You don't beat your chest at God. It's not your mate. He is God, your creator. I don't think anybody here, I know women spend a lot of money on their hair, and the men as well. Do you keep a record of how your hair was when you were 15, and now that you are 35 and above, the number that has disappeared, or on their own, or you have removed willingly? No, God knows everything. He knows everything. Do not exasperate your children. God has placed you there for them to see. Listen. We'll get to that in a moment. What are the do's? Or what is the do? Say, bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. How do we do this? Well, there are about 7 points. How do you bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord? Model the desired lifestyle of obedience. Model the desired lifestyle of obedience. Your children know. Like I've said many times, the only thing I took from my father was a pair of trousers that was torn at the knees. We prayed together, morning, evening, but when I went to spy, when he was at, I saw him praying, saw him kneeling down. So he had one pair of trousers, green, torn at the knees. I don't have those trousers anymore, but I remember here the power of prayer. Your children know who you are. They're very intelligent. I've used the example many times. Stephen will remember. There are old cars that we used to start in front of them and you just start them up. Now, there are some cars you can start from outside the car. You see that you can do all sorts of things. Our children know. They know. They know what is happening. So, they know when you are modeling something. You know, you are saying they should do this to God, do this to God. They know when you say, yes, you do the Bible study with them, you pray with them. And they see you shout at mom or swear at your boss. Swear about at home, you are just swearing. They know. I've never heard my children swear, but they have ears. They went to school. They know what swearing is. Jemima is smiling. All of us are, yeah. They know. They don't swear. You know, not so. They know because they know what is bad. Isn't it? They know what is bad. They know the difference. Model it. Let them know the times, the many days and hours in a week that you are with them, that nobody else is with them. Tell them what is good. Teach them what is good. Let them see. When we talk about modeling, it's not only when women do catwalk. Okay? It's what they are seeing you do. The lifestyle of obedience to God. That is the greatest, you are the greatest preacher they will ever see. That is why, fathers, you are responsible and accountable. Mothers as well. For how your children turn out. You have the ability to repent and tell them, sorry. I'm sorry, so that there's a change. There's a turnaround. There's a new beginning. Two, discuss the Bible in an interactive way with the values and value their contribution. The second one. Discuss the Bible in an interactive way. Ask them what the situation is. I'm being distracted here and it's on tape. Hold on my key. Yes, I continue. Discuss the Bible in an interactive way. Not only say what the situation is, ask them questions and listen to them. When they talk and they give you views, say you understand. And direct them. Well, let them talk. How do you see this? How do you see this? Three, encourage them and train them with regards to walking in the Spirit. Encourage your children and you train them how to walk in the Spirit. Pray for them and tell them ways. You see, there are always usually two voices, at times three. That is the voice of God, the voice of the devil, and your own, right? Tell them how to listen to the good one. Did you consider before you hit your brother? Wait. If you consider that, did you know the options that you should not have hit your brother? Yes, I knew the option, but I hit him anyway. Well, the first one that you knew is God talking to you. Don't do that. Always listen to that. The voice that says, don't do it. Come and tell me. You train them with regards to walking in the Spirit. The next point, ensure that they have the right resources and input, including church-related activities. Encourage them that they have, so that they have the input and resources, and give them, you know, church-related activity. Help them to participate. Of course, they are watching you to see if you are participating yourself. Okay? If you are doing things, like we need more men to help in a new day to drive the vans there and come back and take it again. We need, we'll soon be having barbecues. We need everybody to bring something. Okay? That your children will see you. If you don't bring something, no problem. When it's their turn as well, they will not make an effort that this is a collective thing. You've got to step out and they watch you. Mom, why are you doing this? I want to go and help. I saw a young girl yesterday at about 6 something in the morning helping the parents. I was so impressed. And I saw her today. I said, look, what you are doing is good. Enjoy it. Because now it will seem as if you are not enjoying it, but you are learning the life's skill. Desire to wake up early to do something. Later on in life, you will appreciate what you are, what is happening now. But just put a smile on your face. Just enjoy it. It's all good. So ensure that they have the right resources. You read something, share it with them. Let them see and experience faith in action, prayer and answers to prayers. This is very key. Let them see and experience faith in action. You know, we've always asked our children, whenever any difficulty, we'll explain it to them, we'll pray. And when there's the breakthrough, they will see it as well. That is the best way to, you know, to teach someone faith. You see the problem? There are problems. You didn't make them up. I standing up here, do you think, you think, oh, let my children marry and leave home. Okay, that is it. No. They will marry, they will do well. But they will have grandchildren, right? They will have spouses. It gets bigger. Then you will be a great-grandparent sometime. It gets bigger. It's never going to end. Thank you, Paul. You know, it's never going to end. So, let them experience what you are experiencing. Say, this is what I'm praying for. And don't let them see why you're asking, and let them ask God. You ask God together. So the children have seen problems and answer to prayers. That they know, anywhere they are, they know that God answers prayers. They've seen it, they've experienced it, and they are doing it, they are seeing it in their lives. So that's how you train children. You model it. You don't shield them. I was shielded. My father lost the first son when he was 21. I didn't know him because I was very young. I think 2 or so. But it was a few years ago that I knew his full name, because I saw it in one newspaper. One man turned 80 and he put a picture of his classmates and their names. So I saw my brother's names. I said, so these were his names, because nobody, he never shared. He must have been in pain. But right now, the way to do it, share your heart with your children. They will pray for you. They will pray for you, and you will pray with them. Let them see and experience faith in action. They will know that wherever they go to, God is real. Some people say God is real. They can tell you the Bible passages. They can quote the scripture. They can sing the songs. But there's no meat. There's no meat. If anything happens, if they go to uni, problem. You think they're going to be taken away. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a God of love, God of power. But you have to come to Him with an open heart. Thank you, Nadia, for those songs. You know, or you just say, all to you, my burdens, I roll my burdens. Yeah, you know, you roll your burdens with song. As you come out, you carry a burden. The Lord wants us to bring our heart to Him. God, this is me. I struggle with this. Help me. I have the resources because of Christ. But you have to use the resources. Okay. The Judas, was he not a disciple? Was he not one of the top disciples? He kept the money. But you saw what he did. Now, nobody, you rarely see anybody now whose name is Judas. People don't give their children, men don't give their children Judas, women don't give their children that name. No. And when you say Judas worldwide, you know what you mean. You know, talk of permanent swear word. Someone calls someone Judas, you just know what they're talking about. They don't need to elaborate. But in spite of Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, Justifier, God with Him, eating, walking on the sea, okay, raising Lazarus up, He had His own agenda. So He's remembered for His agenda. He's remembered for suicide. He's remembered that He sold out to the enemy. He's remembered that He wasn't an apostle to the end. My prayer is that we'll take hold of this authentic Christianity, godly parents. Who are you influencing? And how are you influencing them? And if you have a problem, like I said, ask God to forgive you. The five things. Identify the problem. Forgive your parents or the older ones. I forgive them. I pray for them now. I help them. You know, forgive them. Then ask God to forgive you. Okay? Identify the problem. Forgive anybody involved. Ask the Lord to forgive you. And in the name of Jesus, command any attitude, anything that has gotten into you, to get out in Jesus' name. And then ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. I want to cough. Don't put your mic on and cough. You ask the Lord to fill you with His presence and His power. So, brothers and sisters, let us look at ourselves and ask God, Lord, is there anything in me that I'm passing on that is not right? Check it. Is there anything in me that I'm passing on that is not right? Help me. The next number, give clear boundaries. Okay, give clear boundaries. For instance, obedience, as one, but we want to say something once, and you obey, and no lying. So just not too many boundaries. Then enforce them, but also give them the power of choice. If you obey, no problem. But if you do the other, if you don't obey, this is the what you get. You choose. You choose. And they will choose what is right. You give them the power of choice. Okay? And you know, and don't insult them. That is, there are some parents that discipline their children, but more than the discipline is those negative words. Things like your head is not good. Translate it in your own language. You hit your child, and you say that. You use bad words on them. Get it. Don't forget that you are their hero. If your hero, you say that about you, it will sink deep inside. If you had the power, apart from Jesus Christ, if you had the power to bring somebody here now, who will you bring in? Don't worry if it's a celebrity, I just want to use as an analogy. Who will you bring in? Don't be shy. I know all of you like people, singers and things. Adults as well. Who would you like to bring in? Your grandmother. Teresa's grandmother, yes. I mean someone who's still alive. No. Somebody, a celebrity. A celebrity that maybe you follow their songs, you like their songs. Pardon? Michael Jackson, thank you. He's dead. Okay. Okay. No, don't worry. It's nice. Who else? Stevie Wonder. Okay. Let's assume you like Stevie Wonder, right? You've always listened to his music, right? Okay. Do you mind? Tell us another one. Give us one. Another, Mark Redmond. Okay. Pardon? Tasha Cobbs. Okay. I don't know who that is, but Tasha Cobbs. Let's assume we just open those double doors and Tasha Cobbs comes in. Or the celebrity that you like their song, they just come in and they come to you. First of all, you say, wow. And they start saying negative things to you. How will you feel? Say, I admired you. I bought your songs. I sing your songs. I tell people about you. Okay? And they're just saying, I don't like your dressing. Look at your hairstyle. You are smiling like that. They're just telling you about negative things. They will not touch your skin. They go deep down into your heart. Parents, this is what we do to our children. That is why you have to seek for deliverance and help. I have to check myself. If there's anything that I'm passing on, if you don't appraise yourself, you think you are in charge. Okay? Check yourself. How am I doing? Then when you correct your own, apologize to your children and tell them to help you. Tell them, first of all, you've cleared with God and you want to change, right? Then tell your children. Your children will forgive you quickly and they will change. Daddy said you will change. Mommy said you will change. They will help you. And finally, transition into friendship to ensure a lifelong relationship of mutual support to continue to grow in the Lord. You transition. Someone is your son, someone is your daughter. Transition to being friends. Okay? Give them power. I want to buy this thing for you. What do you think? And they say no. Or they say yes. Give them power. Listen to them. Of course, if you have laid a good foundation, you are the one they will call first. If not, they go and learn from outside. What do you think? Any small thing that happens, do you want your children to phone a friend? To phone a friend or to ask you? They will ask you if you don't terrorize them. They will ask you if you will listen to them. And you are in pole position because you've had them all their lives. You are in pole position. So when they begin to pick up the phone and phone a friend who you are not sure of, then something is not right. That is why parents are responsible and accountable. Fathers in particular, you are in charge. Mothers as well. Working together in obedience to God. Let us bow our heads and pray.